لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, we are talking about ibadat and monitoring the effect of those ibadat on ourselves. And we mentioned salah and we mentioned fasting. We come today to the ibadat of zakat. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned zakat in a couple of places in Surah Tawbah. But the first place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned zakat in Surah Tawbah is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if you see the Arabic of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said خُذْ. خُذْ means to take like this. It doesn't mean to ask. It means to grab maybe a hard word or snatch maybe a hard word, but khuz means to take if required by force. So khuz does not mean ask for it. No, it means take. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, khuz min amwalihim, take from their wealth, sadaqah, which is charity. And in this case, the meaning of this charity refers to zakat. تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. Now, two words, tahara and tazkiyah. تُطَحِّرُهُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so that you purify them. وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ also means purify. In the English translations, they use the term sanctify. But the understanding of this is tutahirum has to do with the wealth itself. So purifying of the wealth. And tuzakkihim has to do with the individuals who own the wealth. So another way of looking at it is tutahirum tahara. When we just see these two words, when we apply them in other contexts, tahara means wudu, ghusl, clean clothes and so on. So it's the external. And tazkiyah is internal. Tazkiyah to nafs. Yeah? Although, tazkiyah can be applied elsewhere, but we usually, the understanding of these two words, tahara is an external phenomena. Tazkiyah is an internal phenomena. So tahara in this case is to purify the wealth itself. And watuzakkihim is to purify the individuals. So the first understanding of this is that zakat is compulsory. The Prophet ﷺ was ordered to take it from the people. It is a pillar of Islam. The one who refuses to pay zakat or the one who denies that zakat is a fard has left Islam. So it is like salah. If you deny salah or if you leave salah, then you automatically exit Islam. So also with zakat. And the two are connected. Salah and zakat are both connected. We know the story from the seerah where the people of Taif came to Rasulullah when he was in Medina, and they said to him, and remember, Taif is the place where Rasulullah had gone to invite them, and then they very brutally repulsed him. So they came to him and they said that we are ready to say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. We are ready to accept Islam, and we are ready to pray. We will do salah, but we will not pay zakat. So Rasulullah ﷺ was even advised by some of the people close to him to accept their Islam, and they said, these are powerful people, we need support at this time, we are weak, so accept their Islam, and inshallah they will pay zakat in due course. You know, when they come to Islam and so on, and they start praying and then so on, the heart will come. And so, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, he said, the one who separates salah from zakat is not a Muslim. And I will not accept his Islam. It was based on this opinion of the ruling of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, during his khilafah, when the first thing that happened after Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away was the fitna of irtidad, where many of the tribes of people around Medina and Makkah in the Hijaz, many of them, they rebelled and they said, we will not pay zakat. And they all said the same thing. They said, we'll pray, but we will not pay zakat. Wealth is a strange thing. You know, we have this love of the dunya. And praying is okay. It doesn't cost money. But to give money, is there's a proverb in Persian and Farsi, which says, ask me for my life, it is for you. No problem. My life, I am willing to give for you. But don't ask me for 1 rupee also. Don't ask me for 1 cent also. Because to say my life is for you is easy. I mean, nobody actually gives a life for anybody. So to say that is easy. Jaan bhi aapke liye, aapke sadqa hai. Woh jaan toh, 10 rupees mat maango. Don't ask even for 10 rupees. So the issue is that the wealth is a strange thing. So here, people said, we will not pay. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu said, if a person is supposed to pay, even if he does not pay what he's supposed to give in zakat, even if he does not give the equivalent of a rope for a camel, he's not talking about the camel, he's just the leading rope. He said, if he does not give a rope for a camel, he said, I will take the sword to him. He said, I will fight him. And Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu objected, and he said, how is it that you are threatening to fight and take the sword to the Muslims? Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu said to him, he said, you used to be very strong in your kufr, and now that you have become Muslim, you have become very soft. He said, what is wrong with you? Do you not know what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? He said, the one who has separated the salah from the zakat is not a Muslim. And if he is not a Muslim, he has become murtad. If he becomes a murtad, then what I am threatening to do is legal and valid. So the issue of wealth is a very strange thing. And that is the reason why in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these two things. One is, giving of the sadaqah is purification of the wealth itself. But giving itself is a purification of the heart. Because inside, this greed which is there, this love of dunya which is there, this is being removed. By giving the sadaqah, it is a mujahida on the nafs. And thereby you are purifying your nafs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take khudh min amwalihim sadaqatan tutahhiruhum wa tuzakkihim biha. So that by this, you will purify them internally and externally. And then see the, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately gave the reward for this. And see the reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's saying, wa salli alayhim. People who give zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and make dua for them. Wasalli alayhim. Inna salataka sakanul lahum. Verily, your dua will be a source of great sukoon for them. The dua of the Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this dua of his Nabi as the reward for the one who pays zakat. Imagine, what is worth more than the dua of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ And Allah is reiterating this. إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ Verily your salah, meaning your dua, سَكَنُوا لَهُ That this will be a means of great happiness for them, security for them, sukoon for them. وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ And verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who hears and who knows. So this issue of zakat is an issue of such great importance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned it, and he ordered this to be taken, and he mentioned that this is a means of purification of wealth, and it is a means of purification of the individual himself or herself, because it purifies the heart, because it helps us to separate ourselves from this love of this dunya, which is one, which is, it is the biggest evil. I mean, not one of the biggest evil, it is the biggest evil. Because this love of the dunya, the loving to make money, is that which leads us to all forms of haram and all forms of prohibited things. If we did not love this money so much, we would not need to go there. If life is simplified, then you need less. And if you need less, you don't have to work so hard. And you don't have to do all kinds of wrong things. Because whatever you do legally, alhamdulillah, this is enough for you. And you live a very peaceful and contented life. But because we have greed, there is end to need, but there is no end to greed. You know, needs can be fulfilled. But greed, there is no end to greed. There is no matter how much you have, no matter how much wealth you have, you always want more. And we see examples of this all around us. And may Allah protect us. Maybe we see some examples of this also in our own lives. And since we live in a world which has made greed into a virtue, which is focused on enhancing greed more and more and more by showing things in a more and more attractive way, so that you get this whole orientation to say that this is not good enough for us. Yeah, the other day Ahmad and I were going, Ahmad was saying that every year at the end of the year, when you get the school report, they used to get those dinky toys, you know, the matchbox cars. So he said his father used to see the report and then attend to his ear because of the report. And after that, on the way, he would buy them two matchbox cars, right? Now today, I'm not casting aspersions, alhamdulillah. Bismillah ta'ala, may Allah bless them and bless their family. We have three generations sitting here in the masjid. Today, if you give those matchbox dinky toys to our children, you know, they will have a good laugh. They say, what is this? You know, dinky toy, what is the dinky toy? Now, the issue is, it's not their fault. This is how the world has become. This is how the world has become. Today, forget about a dinky car. If you buy them a cell phone, and if it is not the latest cell phone, they won't even like that. You know, they will not even, the fact that you buy them this gadget, even unless it is the latest Game Boy or whatnot. My point is, we live in this world, and that is my reason for saying this is not only to have a laugh, but to remind ourselves that we are living in an environment which is hostile to virtue. We are living in an environment which is hostile to doing what Islam preaches. And very interestingly, something I was reading the other day, pursue virtue, not material. Right? Pursuit of virtue, not pursuit of material goals. Guess who said this? Aristotle. Yes, I'm not talking about Islam. I'm talking about, you know, 3,000 years ago or whatever it was in Greece, long before written history, where Aristotle said this. He said, pursue virtue. Now imagine, pursue virtue in today's world, virtue has zero value, at least in the general sense. People of sense, people of understanding, for them virtue has value. But otherwise, generally speaking, virtue has no value. Money has value, no matter how you get the money. Power has value, no matter how you get the power. Whereas, my point I'm making is that even if you did not believe in God, you still had, if you go to the basics, people of understanding and people of intelligence, they always knew that the fundamental principles of life are based on things which are good. They're not based on things which are evil. Whether you believe in Akhirah or you don't believe in Akhirah, irrespective of that, fundamental principles of, if you want a good life, you have to do certain good things. You have to be truthful. You have to have integrity. You have to pursue virtue. You can't have a good life when you are pursuing greed and you are pursuing sin and you are calling it a good life. It cannot be. And of course, alhamdulillah, we have the blessing of Islam. So we also know the real link of this with the Akhirah, where we go. And that is where zakat comes in as an ibadah. And so monitoring this effect of this ibadah on ourselves, alhamdulillah, we pay zakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us among those who pay zakat, who are able to pay zakat. And we should therefore ensure that we pay zakat and monitor the effect of that on ourselves. Because zakat is supposed to purify ourselves internally. So when you pay zakat, we must monitor ourselves to say, has my love for dunya decreased? What is the effect of zakat on my love for dunya? When I pay zakat, do I feel happy about paying zakat? Or am I paying zakat as a musiba, that we have to do this? Or am I very happy? When I'm calculating zakat, we have to be accurate, no doubt about that. But am I accurate with the intention that I should pay the least? Or am I accurate to make sure that I am paying what I need to pay? So therefore, if you are accurate with that sense, then you will do your calculation and then you will pay a little more or a great deal more if Allah puts into our heart to make sure that I am not on the side of those who did not pay. So here is what I am supposed to pay and then here is 10% more, 50% more, 100% more because Alhamdulillah Allah has given me 2.5% is what? 2.5% is nothing. So I will pay more than that. Out of my love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla, we ask Allah to accept it. So this is the thing that we should monitor in our heart to see that by my paying zakat, it's not just a matter of paying the money, it's a matter of looking at it from the perspective of what is it doing to my heart. Because this is what it is supposed to do. Tuzakkihim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, purify them internally. So is this internal purity happening or not? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to attain this internal purity and the purity of our mal and ourselves. And so that when we come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we come in a state where we are acceptable to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.